with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have a lot of fun here on the Lombardi Line, but there is no day better to join us than on an NFL Sunday. Alongside the former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Week 6 already underway. 3-3 out there in London between the Baltimore Ravens and Tennessee Titans. Michael, what is going on? Happy Sunday, my friend.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm back on the West Coast where you get football as soon as you wake up. This is awesome. I mean, this field, I don't know if that's turf or not, but this field is absolutely gorgeous. And this stadium's incredible. And I get the sense that both these teams are playing at a high pace today. So this is going to be a fourth quarter fun game to watch, Stormy, because Lamar looks like he's locked in and Tannehill's throwing the ball really well. So this is going to be a fun game. I'm excited. It's Sunday. I mean, why not? I mean, where else would you rather be? Really?
Nothing better. Truly, Michael. And it's funny. I usually do subscribe by the theory West Coast, Best Coast when it comes to like the time that we get to watch sports. These are the weeks when we have the London games on that I envy you. Early games.
Right. Yeah.
Not so much. Yeah. From a fan perspective, if I wasn't working right now, I probably would be awake at halftime. But to your point, I think this is going to be a good one, a competitive down to the wire game. And right now what we're seeing, this was a 5.5 point favorite for the Baltimore Ravens coming in, total 42. And if you were somebody that likes that team today, keep an eye on these live lines because I've seen as low as -2.5 to this point. That line continues to move. So keep your eye on those when you can. But yesterday was a super fun day in college, Michael. So I think it'll be great for us to get into the NFL slate today. But Washington,
fun
Oregon.
Day. I mean, at some point, Stormy, can we have the conversation? Like, why are 3 points so bad? Especially at the end of the half. Have we not learned anything from Kansas City losing to Cincinnati a couple years ago? I mean, seriously, have we not? Lamar looks upstanding today.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar is, whoa. Anyway, I hate to interrupt my train of thought, but this will bounce around. I mean, I don't understand why people turn down 3 points and they hide behind analytics, you know, analytics is what they say. You should go for it. Analytics. And now all of a sudden there's such to be, maybe we should go for it. Well, when it costs your team points, you should go for it. I mean, Oregon could be a national champion. That decision could have cost them a national championship. I mean, that was a great game. Michael Penix was outstanding. It was fun to watch, but you know, like you just turned down 3 points at the end of that. What's wrong with going in with 3 points? Like, what is wrong? It's like I tell my stockbroker all the time, don't apologize for making money. Like, it's okay if you make a little bit. You don't have to hit a home run every time. Like, why is it so bad? Remember, the first quarter's about understanding the game. The second and the third are about adjustments. The fourth quarter, you stand alone. When you get to the fourth quarter, then you do those things. It's like Stanford went for two when it were down 29-0 because the analytics says we have to go for two, right? We got to go for two. They win that game without going overtime if they don't go for two.
Yeah, and Dan Lanning.
Don't get me started on that. This is the second. Other than the 76ers, nothing drives me crazier than this.
Oh, and speaking of which, the James Harden and Daryl Morey situation, apparently there's no mending that relationship. But don't worry, I'm not going to get you going on that. I'm not going to do it. But Dan Lanning did address some of those thoughts in his post-game press conference and said, a couple of field goals could have been the difference in the game. But also, you know, they come with an aggressive mindset. I think especially that opportunity at the end of the half, though, you've got to take and then you feel for him at the end of the game, an opportunity to tie it wide right. That's college football, baby. 36-33, your final. So you get a push on that three. But anybody that took the money line with Washington, I think that was a smart play. Penix, 302 yards, 4 touchdowns, thrown for over 300 every single game. And now he is a -140 odds on favorite to win the Heisman. Caleb Williams, after the rough performance yesterday with USC against Notre Dame, he's now 20-1 on the Heisman odds board. But there was a lot of fun yesterday. I want to follow up though, Michael, because you said Lamar Jackson having a great day, 7 of 7, 98 yards to start the game, and they are driving in the red zone now in position once again.
Yeah, they moved it down the first drive and they got a 2nd and 1 and didn't convert. They tried to run it twice against a good front of Tennessee. Look, you're going to have to spread it out against Tennessee to run it, right? You're going to have to spread them out. And you know, and now they've had 2 runs down the red zone. I'm not sure that's the strategy you need to go through here. But the secondary for Tennessee, you can attack. Beckham catches a slant. He goes for 50 yards or 45 yards. I mean, there are going to be a lot of plays to be made against the secondary. You've got to almost use the run against Tennessee as a change of pace. You've got to use it because you can attack them down the field. You can make them miss tackles in their secondary. Critical call here on third down. Because this is a four-point play here. Third and four in the red zone. This is a four-point play. I know Harbaugh will not want to settle for a field goal here. But, you know, if they don't get it, he's going to have to.
And it looks like they did not with the overthrow in the back of the end zone. So, looks like a field goal attempt once again is coming. But I don't mind because I do have Justin Tucker in my fantasy league. So, I will take it. I will take it gladly. But for the Ravens, you know, cleanest bill of health I feel like we've had for them in a while. You have OBJ, yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, Marlon Humphrey all off the injury report. And they did what I consider the smart thing coming in earlier this past week versus the Titans, who did the Thursday night red eye getting there Friday. So we'll see if that ends up, you know, playing out throughout the course of this game. But right now, Justin Tucker makes that field goal 6-3. Ravens, where things sit right now, the Ravens back to a 5.5-point favorite on the live line, total 40.5.
Yeah.
Some other important things.
Before we jump off this game, this game was 5.5 to open. It went to 4. I think it ended up being 4 in the contest. It went down to 4. And then now this morning when I got up early, it was 5.5. So there's a lot of money that came in late on Baltimore to get that number back up to 5.5, which is interesting. I think Baltimore would have been a 5.5 favorite all week long because of had they beaten Pittsburgh and not dropped as many passes. And they look like their offense is really grooving right now.
Yeah, Michael, they should have scored 30-plus points last week against the Steelers. I think it was 8 official drops, maybe 9 if you want to count the Zay Flowers one where he falls down 40 yards downfield and some untimely turnovers. But the Ravens should have won that game last week. But hey, got your pick through, Michael, which, by the way, our guy Michael Lombardi was a perfect 3-for-3 on the official picks yesterday. We will have his official picks at the end of the show today. And we will also cruise through every single game on the board for this NFL Week 6 Sunday. Some of the other really important just updates, I want to make sure we set the tone from an injury standpoint for people at home. No Deshaun Watson today, dealing with that rotator cuff bruise against the 49ers. And we've seen that line go up and away with PJ Walker stepping in as the starting quarterback there. Although it did tick back down. I think some people were taking the double digits with the Browns to 9.5.
Yep.
No Daniel Jones either for the Giants today. Justin Jefferson, we know, on injured reserve for the Minnesota Vikings. Anthony Richardson unavailable for the Colts today. And some important updates, I think, in the New York Jets defensive backfield. No Sauce Gardner, no DJ Reed. Their top two corners dealing with concussions. On the Eagles side of that, Jalen Carter and Darius Slay both unavailable, and for Chicago, Khalil Herbert. So just some big names that folks want to make sure that they're aware of today.
You know, and what are we going to do without your ability to go to your Daniel Jones primetime quote?
I mean, devastating.
You know, how about this, though? Since 2019, the Giants and the Jets have played a total of 25 night games, right? They've played 25 night games as two franchises. They're 2-23 straight up in those games.
Wow.
Think about that. New York, New York, under lights.
Jeez Louise. By the way, I mentioned Daniel Jones off the top, but the injury report for the Giants is like a CVS receipt.
Oh my gosh.
It's like there were 17 players on the injury report. 5 we know are out. Crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. And then how about this? I was working on this morning. I mean, I had to go back to 2021. The last time that Tyrod Taylor has started a game was playing for the Texans against the Colts on the 5th of December in 2021. And he left that game with an injury. And you know, he's only thrown 23 passes since that point. Right. So it hasn't been very pretty for him. And when you look at what he's done, I mean, this is going to be a hard game for him. He was 5 in the last start he had. He's 5-for-13 for 45 yards. He threw a pick and he left the game. So, you know, this is going to be a challenge behind an offensive line that I don't even know who's going to play for the Giants. This will be I'm surprised. The line went to 14. Now it's back moving up to 15.5. I have it here at DraftKings in New Jersey, still sitting here at 15, but I mean, you know, it's a, you don't want to take that big of a number in Buffalo, but I don't know how the Giants score 15, let alone cover 15.
Yeah, we know for sure no left tackle Andrew Thomas or center John Michael Schmitz, but also Evan Neal, Marcus McKeithen, both questionable, and Daniel Jones was sacked 16 times the last two games. Just put that in perspective. That's going to be an uphill battle for our guy, Tyrod Taylor.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you now, and I don't wish anybody to get injured. I really don't. But I am telling you now, we will see. It's a good chance Tommy DeVito makes an appearance in this game. There's a good chance of that.
Is there, well, when we go from a game that we're not particularly excited about, is there a game you're most looking forward to watching today?
You know, one thing about always the slate, I'm always excited about the slate. You know, I think it's interesting how the lines moved, you know, when we come into the week. When you wake up this morning and you see, you know, that the Colts are now down to 3.5, I think a lot of people, even with Minshew in there, that line moved. You know, I thought the Washington was 2.5 all week long, and now that went back down to 1.5. The Bengals, the threes are gone for Seattle. You can't get them any longer. So that's always interesting for me. Because this line movement as we go into Sunday, and then I always look at who's not getting bet, right? There's only 10% of the money on the Jets. No one's betting the Raiders. They only have 7% of the money going into the day. And I found this interesting. No one's really betting the Texans. Everybody's all over the Saints. The Saints are a very much a sharp play today in terms of everybody feels like, as I do, Dennis Allen will create some problems for your rookie quarterback, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, and coming off the big shutout win over the New England Patriots as well. You mentioned that Commanders-Falcons game. Let's revisit that one first when we come back here on the Lombardi Line. Interesting, because I really thought a lot of people would like Atlanta in this spot, especially given what we saw this past Thursday night with the Commanders against the Bears. We shall see. We'll analyze that game as well as Pat's Raiders when we return. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started on the Lombardi Line. Week 6, baby. Let's get it going.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so for just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's week 6 of the NFL. We're going to be going throughout the course of the next 2 hours, every single game on the board. And we're going to start with the Washington Commanders headed out to Atlanta, taking on the Falcons. We talked about it in the previous segment. Atlanta had been sitting a 2.5-point favorite pretty much all week. This morning we see at 1.5, total 42.5. Why do you think that people are believing and buying in on Washington in this spot, especially given what we've seen from that defense here early this season?
Well, I think a lot of it is a couple factors, right? I think one of them is the fact that Ron Rivera as a dog is a better play, right? You know, when he's the favorite, he's not very good. When he's a dog, his team's better. They've had more time to rest, right? And so, but when you break the game down and you understand the strength of Atlanta and the weakness of Washington, Washington gives up 4.5 yards per rush. That's a huge number. But what makes that number really more telling and revealing is the longest run against them is only 27 yards. So that means teams have pounded it consistently against them, right? And so you can get yardage, even as good as they are in their front. I think a part of this is Rivera and the fact that it's an anti-Atlanta play. I mean, we saw Ridder play really well last week. Are we sure he's going to play again this week? This secondary for Washington can be attacked. They're not very complicated, but I think there's a sense of hesitation on Atlanta's part. This game sets up perfectly for Atlanta. It really does. They can run the ball on Washington. They can play action pass against Washington. And Howe will get sacked. They can pressure Howe. Howe's going to get sacked almost 100 times. I don't know how the kid's going to make it through the season. So I think it's a back-and-forth game, but I could see why Washington, only because of Rivera being a dog, seems to be it, because there's no other number that you like in the game for him.
Speaking to Sam Howell's sack numbers, NFL high, 29 times he's been sacked. this season so far. Daniel Jones has been sacked 28 times. So there's two guys that are really in that shape right now, but really, really rough numbers for Sam Howell. But for this Washington Commanders team, especially when we look at the total, Michael, like they have allowed 30 or more points in four straight games. When we came into this season, we were looking at the offense, and that's where we had questions. You're like, what is Sam Howell going to be? How is Eric Bieniemy going to be in this offensive coordinator role? Yada, yada, yada. Defense should be fine. They're probably going to be a top 10 unit. It has not really played out that way.
No, it hasn't. And I mean, they've given up almost 8 yards per pass in the game. You know, they've given up 37 points in the on those three-game losing streak, 111 total, so that you can throw the football effectively on them. This is a game Ritter should. Now, if I said to you, Stormy, who's the number one receiver for the Atlanta Falcons this year? Yeah, I'll wait for your answer because you're not going to get it. It's Jonnu Smith. He's had more targets and more catches than anybody. And over London, over Pitts, over all these guys that they've drafted. Because of he knows the offense of Arthur Smith when he was together with him at Tennessee. The Patriots couldn't get anything out of him. All of a sudden he goes to Atlanta and he's back to being the good player he was at Tennessee. So I think this is a game that sets up for Atlanta. To me, it really does. Yeah. Baltimore just got held again on the red zone. This is three trips into the red zone and they come away with 9 points. And this is how you don't cover as a team. This is what happens. You have a chance to get touchdowns. This could be a 21-3 game. Or it could be a 9-3 game, and now it's going to be a 9-3 game. But anyway, going back to Atlanta and Washington, you know, this is a game that Atlanta should play well. They should be able to throw the football. It's got to come down to Ritter being able to protect it.
Justin Tucker is going to be my lead scorer this week, by the way that things are going, if we keep on this trend. I'm not mad at it. I don't have a bet in this game. I did lean Ravens minus the 5.5, though, so I'm rooting for that regardless. But keep giving me those field goals, baby.
I like the Ravens. I gave it out on Russo, and I think it's the handicaps, right? But I do think that they're gonna break through eventually. Yeah. The Titans haven't really demonstrated an ability to stop them unless when the field gets condensed and they can pack it in, and they're gonna have to figure that red zone stuff out.
Yeah, they need to snap and finish, right? It's unfortunate when you're able to cruise down the field with ease the way that you are, and then you're not able to get the point production that you want. Let's move it forward here from Commanders Falcons. But one more thing, though, just to support your Atlanta thought. Just remember, everybody, Desmond Ritter has never lost a home game as a starting quarterback, college or in the NFL, all right? Just 31-0, straight up, throwing that out there. Just want to make sure the people at home know. Let's go to Patriots Raiders. A couple former Patriots on the Raiders, right? Bill Belichick said Mac Jones will start. The expectation is that leash is going to be pretty short in this spot. The Raiders are a 3-point home favorite.
Yeah, and no money's coming on the Raiders yet. The line really hasn't moved, which tells you everything you need to know. I think people assume that this Patriots are just going to get it back on track. And it's all going to come together for the Patriots. And frankly, when you watch them, there's no indication that that's true. Yeah, they have a great coach, but the fact is they can't move the football offensively. They haven't been able to run. You look at their numbers last year, everybody made fun of Matt Patricia, but you look at their numbers last year to this year, and they're dramatically different, dramatically different. And their offensive line has been injured quite a bit. I mean, Trent Brown didn't practice most of the week. They lost. Strange didn't practice most of the week, so they've had a lot of guys hurt. Michael Owanu didn't practice most of the week. Whether they play or not, we'll find out at 4 o'clock at 2:30 today when they have to put the inactives list in. But I thought the interesting move was they brought Malik Cunningham up. They signed him to a contract, Stormy, which means he's on their team. He's not going to go back to the practice squad, and so by doing so, they can inject him into the game. They can put him into the game. And I think they will. I think they'll put him into the game, run some RPO stuff, and try to get some life into their offense. Because no matter what you say, and the Patriots have not played well all year, their biggest problem is they turn the ball over and they play from behind. You know, they play from behind in almost every single game. They're down 14-0 to the Saints. The only game they didn't play from behind was the Jets game. They got up 10-3. And they were able to win that game. So Mac Jones just keeps turning the ball over. And now as a dog, we know his record and his trend as an underdog in games and playing on the road. You know, the Raiders defense, the last six quarters, second half against the Chargers and the entire game against Green Bay played well. And they can rush the passer. They could create some problems for the Patriots if that offensive line doesn't play and Mac Jones continues down this road.
And when it comes to Mac Jones, what's so interesting for his story in my mind is that he had such a productive rookie season that when he took the step back last year, everybody blamed the coaching side of it and Matt Patricia, as you referenced. So then this season, you think, okay, he's going to get back to at least rookie Mac Jones, if not better, take positive steps with Bill O'Brien, some other guys on that offense, put things to, and it has not played out that way. You have back-to-back games now where he's thrown a pick six. And to your point about the Raiders defense, where they hadn't had any takeaways early in the season, they're coming off a game where they had three interceptions, and Spillane feeling some confidence, Robertson feeling some confidence. It's just not, well, Max Crosby is obviously the catalyst for that defense. He's not the only name we're talking about right now. And so for me, I actually have an under in this game. Neither offense has done a lot for me and given me reason to believe I should bet an under. Neither of them have surpassed the 20-point mark in a single game this season. So that's the way that I approach this game. But I like what the Raiders defense has done lately. I don't have a bet on the spread in this game. I didn't feel confident one way or the other, but I feel fairly confident that it'll be a lower scoring affair.
I think so too. And look, the Patriots, they play from behind, so they haven't been able to make any takeaways. Their secondary's been beat up. They get Jonathan Jones back. J.C. Jackson will play. They only have two takeaways, the fewest in the National Football League all year. They can't get the ball out. And typically, the Raiders haven't been able to do that. Last week, they did. And I think this is a game where it's going to come down to, will Mac Jones turn it over or will Jimmy Garoppolo turn it over, right? I think that's going to be the key. Is the Raiders got ahead of them last year, if you remember that game. And then what happened? They threw an interception. Remember, Duggar intercepts the bubble screen over there, and all of a sudden now it's a game again. That's what's got to not happen if the Raiders are going to win and cover the number. For the Patriots to win and cover, they can't play from behind. If Mac Jones makes a mistake in the first quarter, you'll see Bailey Zappe fairly early, because I think the team just melted last week when he made that pick six.
Yeah. Bailey Zappe, to your point, and maybe Malik Cunningham, who actually did generate some preseason buzz, right? Sean King made me laugh. I heard him say earlier this week, there's one thing this year the Patriots have done consistently, scoring fewer points than the week before. The good news is they can't do that this week. They can't do that this
week. It's true. So. I mean, look, it hurts me to say it. I mean, it hurts me to say it really does, because I have a lot of friends still there in the Patriots, but you have to be fair. And they're not playing their best ball, but you have to figure out what are the reasons. Well, the offensive lines had no continuity going back to the first preseason game. They've been moving people around. Guys have been hurt. That's an issue. And they've had no Ramondo Stevenson has not been able to get going. And last year, they could run the football. They could actually run the ball effectively. And this year, they can't do anything effectively offensively.
We're going to take a quick timeout here, but when we return, a couple more games we're going to break down. Minnesota at Chicago, Indy at Jacksonville. That Vikings game could potentially have some weather. We have a few weather games. First time this season, we're really going to see wind impact some of these spreads and totals. Don't go anywhere. We'll get into it next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season's ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide. Got up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards, live betting strategies, plus advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is an all field goal game in London currently. The Ravens with a 9-3 lead. They are a 9.5-point favorite on the live line, total 39.5, but have been cruising, it seems, every time they get the football until they get in the red zone. So we'll continue to keep tabs on that. The weather out there, by the way, looks beautiful. The weather looks frightful in some other places when it comes to the wind in the NFL today, Michael. So here we go, real quickly. Stormy with a weather report for you, ladies and gentlemen. We got 49ers at Browns expecting sustained winds of 15 to 20 miles an hour. Gusts around 30, on and off showers approximately during game time. Large spread in that one, 9.5, despite the low total of 36. Vikings Bears mostly clear. We'll have lingering early showers that are possible. Sustained winds around 20 miles an hour. Same thing, though, with those gusts getting over 30 miles an hour. In Bengals Seahawks, a spotty shower or two, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. And in the late night, Sunday night football contest, contest. Lingering light rain possible as well. Winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. This is, Michael, the first week of the NFL where we're actually seeing wind and weather impact some of these games.
Right. And look, we're not even in November, but wind is the deterrent to most offensive football teams. And I think wind's a deterrent to kickers too, right? I mean, yesterday we saw that we saw Oregon play Washington. The ball was lined up in the middle of the game, of the field, right? And, you know, I had it on mute, so I don't know if the wind was blown. But anytime it's there in the middle, it's hard to judge the wind, how it's crossing. Kickers need to understand the wind and all that that's going through it. So with this wind in Cleveland and with this wind in some of these other places, it makes it very difficult, especially in Cleveland, where with P.J. Walker as your starting quarterback, you're probably not going to get a lot of chances to score touchdowns against a really good 49er defense. And so you're going to have to make some kicks, right? You're going to have to make some field goals, and that wind can be very problematic right there on Lake Erie as you play, even though it's in kind of enclosed, but the wind swirls, and it's a difficult field to kick.
Michael, did you like my meteorology voice?
Loved it. I thought it was awesome. It was great. You're doing a great job.
For the people. Yeah. Let's dive deeper into one of those games. Vikings at Bears. Minnesota laying 3, total 44 in this spot. We know no Justin Jefferson, who's on injured reserve dealing with that hamstring injury sustained in last Sunday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Probably going to have to lean more on former Biletnikoff winner Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, kind of old faithful from that standpoint. As far as injuries on the Bears side of things, Khalil Herbert also on injured reserve, Rashawn Johnson in concussion protocol. So down to their third running back. But your quarterback is also that, to be fair. And Justin Fields played a really, really good game of football this past week. He and DJ Moore, the chemistry was off the charts. How are you analyzing this game?
Well, look, this line shifted very quickly, right? It was a line that you thought, okay, Minnesota's coming in, and Chicago was 4-point dog, and it has moved steadily down because of the Jefferson news, right? Because of the problems with the Minnesota defense, and can they play well enough? Cousins has basically told the media he's not going to waive his no-trade clause, so he's going to be there. These are the kind of games that Cousins typically plays well in. But when you break down the game, I mean, when you look at it, the Bears are one of the worst teams in football in terms of within their own division. And a lot of this is just they're bad everywhere, right? I mean, they have been bad. They can't win a divisional game. They have not been able to do that all year. So that their streak of that is difficult. So I think that's where it gets. Now, Brian Flores is a good coach. He'll figure out what Fields wants to do. I'm sure he's going to take DJ Moore away. He's not going to let him beat him. And he's going to force them to have to run the football and not give up those chunk plays in the passing game and make Fields have to play with a little sense of urgency to see how he handles it. This will be an interesting game, how they handle the win, how Fields handles the win, and how they handle the offense and how they handle what is he going to do running the football. And then, look, everybody moves the ball in the Bears. I have no doubt that Minnesota will move the ball. The question is, will they turn it over? Because that's what they've been doing all year.
Neither team been a particularly good straight up or ATS team. 1-3-1 against the number for both of these squads. The Bears have been a solid bet though to the over. If you've been taking the over on Bears games, you're 5-0 to this point this season. In a field goal spread game, Michael, where we have the Minnesota Vikings in it, and we know all of the success they had in one score games last year, but this year all four of their losses have been in one score games. Is this where you say, okay, maybe should I just stick with this? Should I just fade the Vikings again if it's going to be a one score game? This is how things are going to go.
Well, then I'll throw to you the Bears are 5-19-1 against the spread against the Lions, Packers, and Vikings. So I would be aware of that. Look,
so does that
I
make this like a no go? Is this like a, hey, let's just stay off of it type of a game?
I think to me, this is a game where, you know, there's so much uncertainty, wind, the Vikings defense, the Bears offense. We know one of the consistency things here is I believe the Vikings will move the football because the Bears defense, even when they have some of their guys back in the secondary, is not very good. So they're going to move the ball. The question is in the fourth quarter, which quarterback is going to make a mistake? We know Fields in the last two games has played well, but the fourth quarter when he lost at home to Denver, we know how bad Denver is right now, right? Lost at home to Denver because they turned the ball over in the fourth quarter. And I think in this game, if you're going to do anything, the line has gotten away from you as it relates to the spread as of taking the Bears. I think if you take anybody here, you got to take the Vikings.
Interesting perspective. I like that a lot. And I know the wind makes you want to stay off of that total, but if you think that they're going to move the ball and you think they're going to score, I feel like the over could be in play in this spot also. Also, just to keep you updated on what's going on with the Ravens-Titans games, Baltimore got in the end zone, but it looked like, Michael, you tell me, an offensive PI on the two-point attempt. What happened there?
Well, they started. You're allowed to block within a yard, but these guys, they call whatever they want to call. This crew, particularly, you know, so they're going to kick the extra point with and make it 16-3. Here's the reality. So we've seen the Ravens have four drives. They're going to have 16 points. So basically, they're averaging 4 points per drive, which is unbelievable, which is really good. But the good news, if you're a Tennessee backer here, is they haven't really gotten the game away from you, right? This could easily be a 28-3 score right now, but it's not. But this is the kind of game Baltimore needs to play. They're playing faster. To me, they got the
heat. As we say, that blocked extra point.
That'll cost. The Russo will beat me in this game because that'll cost me. I promise you. That'll be the kiss of death.
Plenty of game
there
to go, Michael. Don't you worry your pretty
that'll
little
be the
head
kiss
about
of death
it.
Right there. But I think this, though, Stormy, I think the amount of defense that the Titans have played so far in this game and the travel that goes into it, I think at some point it's going to wear them down. And like all NFL games, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And if your defense is tired in the fourth quarter, and we've seen this in other games, that's when you tend to lose the game.
A team that just traveled back from London, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're hosting the Colts today. Total 44, Jags laying 4 in this spot. Anthony Richardson, as we discussed off the top, on injured reserve, so Gardner Minshew will be your starter. How are you looking at this one? What stands out to you?
Boy, this has been a public and a pros play all week long. I mean, everybody has been on the Colts. Very few people have been on the Jags. It opened up at 5.5. It's come in this morning. You know, there's some 3.5s out there. I think a lot of it is really of the 11 times in the NFL history, teams that have returned from Europe without a bye, you know, they have gone into the fourth quarter tied or trailing, and they struggle to cover. Now, the Jags are great against the Colts. Since 15, they're 14-2-1 against the spread. But this is a little bit of a different game, right? Because typically all those other games, the Colts were the hunted one. The Colts were the favorite. Now the Jags are the favorite. You say, well, Minshew, does it make their offense better? Look, when you watch the end of the game last week, when they had the ball with 7 minutes to go against this Tennessee Titans, he made every single throw he needed to make. And they can run the football. They will run the ball, whether it's Moss or whether it's Jonathan Taylor. The question is, what Trevor Lawrence are you going to get, right? Because sometimes he looks sensational.
Yep.
And then sometimes, like against Houston, he does not look as good. I think the reason you got to take the Colts and the points here is because I do think at some point it becomes a little bit of a travel problem. You know, when you go over there for 2 weeks, that's a long time. That's a long time. And then when you finally come home, you got a lot of things on your mind besides just, okay, we've played the Colts. Remember, the first time they played, it's a 10-point game. Deceiving. Colts had the ball on the 1-yard line, couldn't score at the end of the game.
Yep. Very different game. And speaking to that travel, interesting, the Jags so far this season, 0-2 at home. They're 2-0 in London. So that's where they had
success. That's their home.
I mean, the NFL makes it seem like they want that to be their home. I don't think people in Jacksonville want that to be the case, but that's the way things are looking right now. You see the potential Super Bowl in the future in London? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a world event. Who knows? I mean, it's ridiculously expensive to get into America. Why? You know, it's like it's not for the common fan in America. It's a business visit.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, continuing to go through the Week 6 slate, up next on the docket, Lions, Buccaneers, two former number one overall picks having success away from the franchises that picked them. We'll get into it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay any day. Just download the app and use our promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We were talking about all those weather games earlier. One game that it will not be impacting is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Detroit Lions. I was just out there at Raymond James Stadium yesterday for my game, USF and FAU, and it was beautiful, like 80-something degrees, but with a breeze, so it felt nice. So they're going to be cool, calm, and comfortable out there in Tampa later on today. And this is a game, Michael, where for me, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, I feel like the Bucs have been a great story, and it's been fun to see Baker Mayfield have some success. Like, dare I say, he has been a decent quarterback to start this season. I think the Lions are going to be a little bit of a step up in class here. So I'm looking at that three, and I think I might fire on it with Detroit.
Well, I mean, since 01, you know, since 2021, Goff's been very profitable against the spread. He's 25-11. And everybody talks about him not playing well on the road. Well, I think some of that goes back to maybe with the Rams, his first year in, with the Lions. But last year, I mean, he went into New York last year, won that game, dominated that game. He's career-wise, he's got an 85.2 rating on the road. He's 27-23-1 as a straight up on the road. So they do. This Lions team's good. There's no question. They're physical up front. They can run the football. Everything sets up to the run. They've got to be able to. The concern you have for the Lions is, Sam LaPorte missed practice on Thursday with a calf injury. Don't know the extent. We're going to know at 11:30 if he's going to dress. That's a key one. Gibbs and Branch are both not going to play. Branch the safety, Gibbs the running back. But they've been able to get away with Montgomery running the football, and he's done a great job. They control the line of scrimmage. This is a game, the Bucs coming off the bye. The strength of their team is their defensive front, right? They can control the front. So this is strength on strength going in the game. It's going to come down to which quarterback. And I'm still not sold on Baker, because when he does it against a really good team, I'll buy into it, but I'm not going to buy into it just against anybody. I mean, when they played Philly, everybody was all over the Bucs. A lot of people all over the Bucs here today too, right? But Philly made that game look easy.
Yep, and it will help for the Bucs that they do get Mike Evans back, but on the flip side of that, Detroit also gets Amon-Ra St. Brown back. And so, similar to what you're saying, I think I have more trust in Jared Goff and that offense than I do Tampa. I have a follow-up question, though. Before I fire on the Lions, I need you to answer this one about the Detroit defense, because while they have played much better, I think we can all agree on that. What we saw last year in a lot of instances was really ugly on that side of the football. I also want to make sure we're recognizing the level of competition that Detroit has played these last couple of games, because Packers, Falcons, and Panthers, their last three opponents, that can certainly boost your defensive numbers a little bit. So is that side of the ball is what we've seen for real?
Well, I think we're going to, you know, look, the Bucs have beaten, what, the Saints in an ugly offensive game. You know, early in the season, they won another ugly offensive game. So I think, to me, this kind of evens itself out. Here's the concern. Are the Lions good enough in the secondary? Look, when you hold Kansas City to 20 points, you're saying, okay, they're really good. But Kansas City, we know, is not explosive, right? We know that. They were able to control the Packers. That was an easy win. The Panthers were an easy win. Falcons actually was an easy win. So I'm believing that they can. Hutchinson's very good. I don't know how good this offense is for the Saints, for the Bucs. They kind of play in spurts, and Baker's kind of still struggles to see, especially when he gets pressure inside, which is really where the Lions can be very effective.
People, and I agree with you there. I'm just looking at the top five Circa Million selections. And when you said people love the Bucs, they do in the contest as well. 1,467 people on Tampa in the contest.
How about that, huh, Stormy? I mean, how about that one? I mean, when you see that, I always, you know, everybody looks at who's the most bet in the contest. What I try to do is figure out who's the least bet in the contest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who does nobody love in the contest? So nobody loves the Panthers. They're the least bet team of all. Nobody loves the Giants. Nobody loves the Brownies. Nobody loves the Bills. And nobody loves the Titans. But 49ers, Bengals, Ravens, Bucks, and Colts. Well, you know, but I think that all week long in doing research, the Bucs have been like the Philadelphia game. They have been popular. The line was at 3.5. It moved to 3. Now, if Laporte doesn't play, I think that's a huge injury because he's more important than St. Brown, who is going to play, the wide receiver, because they do so much inside of the field passing game. This is a team much like the Rams. They want to throw the ball in the middle of the field to these guys, and that's where Goff's really effective.
Laporta, the last report I saw, they're going to test him in pregame, see how he feels. Yep. So hopefully it's a positive because I'm telling you, that three, I like it. I like it. I could see people, if you get the 3.5, you want to take that with the Bucks, maybe you're getting that extra hook. But I feel fairly comfortable with the Lions by a field goal in this spot. How about the Saints taking on the Houston Texans? Boy. Total 42. I don't have a bet on the spread, Michael, but I am riding this Saints under streak. Cashed a number of tickets for me already to start this season, but 12-0 to the under dating back to last season. I also know some people have considered Houston maybe as a teaser leg if you were able to get that 2 in this spot. But what are you looking at here?
Well, I mean, this is a game where C.J. Stroud hasn't thrown an interception. And when I break the game down, you know, when you look at this and you see it, you say Dennis Allen's really good as a defensive coordinator against good quarterbacks, and he does a nice job. Now, as a head coach, he's 18-30 straight up, okay? So that's not very good. But as a defensive coordinator, which is what he is here, he is very good. Now, the Saints have held their opponents to under 21 points in the last 12 of 13 games. I mean, they're a good defense. I mean, are they a defense that will make you be undefeated? No. But I think they're very good in that area. And look, we have not seen Stroud make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's going to make one. He's not going through his career without throwing an interception. And Allen understands how to play the San Francisco offense. He understands what to take away. I think this will be a challenge, especially considering without Tank Dell in the game, he's going to miss the game because he's in concussion protocol. That's a huge explosive guy that they need. So for me, there's a lot of people believe in the Saints in this game. Now, we get into the whole conversation about the Saints offense, right? It has not looked very well. They benched Penning at left tackle. They're going to put James Hurst over there at left tackle. That could be an upgrade for them, but they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to get the ball down the field. They're going to have to make some throws, and they're going to have to block a very aggressive front of the Houston Texans. And they've got to get Carr some confidence. I mean, one thing Carr's done is throw the deep ball better, but there's not been any consistency with their offense of going up and down the field. So for me, you know, I like the Saints here. It's going to be one of my picks at the end of the show because I think Allen's defensive scheme will create some issues.
And how good was the defense last week specifically? Just 156 total yards allowed, 45 on the ground, forced 3 turnovers, 2 sacks, only 9 first downs allowed in that shutout win over New England. But also to go back real quickly to C.J. Stroud, 186 pass attempts now without an interception, trails only Kyler Murray for the longest streak by a rookie since 1978. He's plus 105 to throw his first one today. We'll see if the Saints D can get their hands on a football or not.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to mix it up. They're going to confuse them. What hurts quarterbacks is I think they're in this coverage, but when I got the ball, they're in another coverage. I think that's ultimately what happens is the confusion in pre-snap, the ability to disguise coverages, right? And without Dell in there, I don't know who they're going to fear in terms of the offensive skill. You know, obviously it's not going to be Robert Woods. And Damon Pierce has not gotten going. So I don't think that, you know, they'll stop the run. This is a good front. Now, good thing for the Texans, they have their offensive line back.
I'm looking at Robert Woods. He's going to play today, but he's still dealing with the ribs anyway. So that's to the thought process of him not being that threat necessarily that we've seen from Tank Dell has been great. The rookie out of Houston, super, super impressive. Like I knew watching him in college that he obviously had a lot of talent and that he was going to get drafted and all the things. I had no idea that he was going to pop the way that he has to this point. So really unfortunate that the rookie quarterback isn't going to have his rookie go-to guy in the deep passing game today. Any thought on that total though, 42, how I said I like the under? You think that could be...
The play. I really do. Okay. I mean, the Saints are an under team. You know that. And look, Dennis Allen's defense has only given up 21 points over in the 12. They're not going to move the football. Last week against Atlanta, they struggled. Atlanta doesn't turn the ball over. Atlanta held them until the fourth quarter. So I do think the under is a strong play. Now, you know, Baltimore did not get that, that 2-point conversion, but they just got a huge gift here, right?
I didn't see what happened. What happened?
Muff punt, Tennessee, with 1 second left to go on the clock at the end of the half, Stormy. So now they're going to get a free 3 points, which is really picks up one more than they had there. See how good I am with math?
And they're kicking another Justin Tucker field goal for my fantasy team. This is like, with Joe Burrow being hampered with the injury, this is what I need. A Justin Tucker performance like this to help me make up for the lack of quarterback performance. Great stuff. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.